You asked about when I came to Newport Richey and what I did before I came to Newport Richey. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up in South Carolina, and I went to Winthrop College and got my degree for teaching. Then I got my master's degree while I was teaching in the Columbia City Schools, and went on weekends and during the summer to get my master's degree. I taught in South Carolina for 19 years and then decided I'd like to try Florida. The weather and everything seemed pretty nice down there, and teachers were very scarce at the time, and a teacher could pick their place over the whole United States, almost. So I decided I would like to go to a small town after living in Columbia, South Carolina, during and right after the war. And Fred Marshman offered me a position as third and fourth grade teacher, combination grade, by the way, in Newport Richey. And I decided I'd try it for a year and then go back to Columbia if I decided I preferred the city to little Newport Richey, which was very small at the time. You'd hardly believe that it could possibly have been one street and very few paved streets in the whole city. I came to Newport Richey the next fall, 1955, and enjoyed the small town atmosphere and the teaching in the old city building now, Pierce Elementary School. Of course, Newport Richey began growing. And later, we built Richey Elementary School in the county, a very modern school at the time. And we moved ourselves from Pierce to Newport Richey. The children took their books in their arms. Mr. Marshman put the desk on his truck. And one afternoon, we took everything over there, and then the next morning, we began school in the new Newport Richey school. I taught third grade most of the time that I was teaching at Richey. One year, when we had become crowded and there weren't enough rooms for all of the teachers, I taught on the stage in the cafeteria. I was supposed to be a remedial reading teacher at that time, so I took small groups all day long, sometimes even while they were serving meals down in the rest of the auditorium, and taught remedial reading. At that time, Mr. Marshman made me chairman of the primary department in the school so that I could help organize some of the classes and coordinate the curriculum. That was not a paid job, I enjoyed it a great deal because I was always interested in the children. And I felt that every child had great possibilities if you could just find the right lead to help them. And I felt every child could learn to read. I was determined to learn to teach children in a way that they could learn to read, and I made progress with some of them. Now I know that there's some children that will never be what I would consider a good reader, but most of the children that I worked with at least could not be one that you could call illiterate. After teaching for a year there, and working with the teachers, I just became interested in being a teacher's helper. And at that time, instead of supervisors in many counties, they had teacher's helpers that went from school to school, helping the teachers coordinate their curriculum and teach reading. I decided to take extra courses to become a reading specialist and found I needed some supervision courses. I went to the University of South Florida and got what I needed in the way of credits to certify me for any position I might want. Wasn't long before I was offered a position in the county office as elementary supervisor for Pasco County. I was a little afraid to accept the position, but I was also anxious to see what I could do with the new job. I had no idea what I was getting into, but I stayed in the position as elementary supervisor or early childhood supervisor for 10 or 11 years and enjoyed it, even though I found myself working many hours overtime and helping people when they needed help at any time of day or night when they would call me. But I made teaching my career, and that was my life. It wasn't long after I became a supervisor that I found that a great deal was being said about integrating the schools in Pasco County. For many years before I came to Pasco, there was a drive in South Carolina to integrate schools. There they started working to make them equal in every way, but not necessarily integrating them into each building. But the government decided that they must be integrated. And Pasco County was a hard one to integrate because of the fact that we had blacks in Dade City and a few in Newport Richey. The rest of the county had very few at all. Therefore, the school system didn't know how to begin integrating. And it was freedom of choice for several years. But not many of the blacks wanted to go to the white schools and the whites to the black schools at that time. Therefore, it was forced integration in the late 60s or early 70s. Before the schools were integrated, I acted, of course, as supervisor to the black schools as well as the white schools. They were schools of the county, were supposed to have the same things in the same way as the white schools. I found it rather hard because many of the black schools didn't know how to use the materials that I would take to them or requisition for them to use. Therefore, I spent a great deal of my time then trying to teach the teachers how to use some of the newer equipment that was available to them. Some of them did not even realize that there were teachers' manuals to help them with their teaching of reading. And became one of my ambitions, to be sure that each teacher in Pasco County had a teacher's manual for their reading book that they were teaching. When I was around Newport Richey, I spent my time, of course, at Pine Hill School. The Booker T. Washington Elementary School was the main black school on the west side of the county at that time. In fact, it was probably the only one, except the one in Dade City, that was open at that time. We did not have a high school for the blacks, but very often they went to the Tarpon Springs when they were ready for high school. Very few of them continued their education in high school or college at that time. I worked with Ruby Copeland, and there was always another black teacher at Booker T. Washington. It was a two-teacher school, and they had a very nice building at that time. Probably there had been a Booker T. Washington school before the building that was there when I was supervising, but I'm not sure about that. But the building was fairly new at the time that I was there, and it was a very nice two-teacher school because it had a sliding glass, not sliding glass doors, but a sliding division in the middle of it that they could open and have a big auditorium. And Pine Hill School was a community center for the blacks at that time. They had playground equipment, and they had activities of all sorts there. The teachers helped them plan things other than just the school during the school time day. And when they started talking of integration, the teachers and the pupils were not excited about it. Of course, some felt that, oh, that would be fine. But deep down, most of them loved their little school. And the teachers had a pride in that school. Therefore, it was very sad to me the night they had their last graduation there. Of course, I was invited. I was very often invited to their activities when I was a supervisor. And also, I had learned to really have a close feeling to the little Pine Hill School. The night of the graduation, that little building was crowded with people, blacks and whites. It lasted from, 7:30 or 8 o'clock to almost midnight. They had singing, they had different activities that the children did. They got their diplomas from Booker T, which covered, I think, about 8th grade at that time. I'm not positive, but it was beyond the elementary school. And the little children, black children especially, I noticed that were there. They came in, they were very quiet, they did what they were supposed to do, and then they put their heads on the desk and went to sleep. It was a very orderly commencement exercise. And I remember how Ruby Copeland complimented every white person that was there and many of the black parents on everything that anybody had done for that school. I wish I had a tape recorder of that exercise. And finally, we gave out the certificates. I think I helped Ruby give them out. And that, the day of the Pine Hill Black School, was over. In fact, I worried about it the whole next week. What would they do for a nice little community building? What would they do to keep their activities going? But it was something that we were really forced to do. We felt that that was the best, and I would say the government felt it was best for the black children and the white children to have school together. And I had great hopes at that time that it would improve their attitude towards education, and that in the future they would be as educated as the white children in our community. But there were times that I realized they didn't adjust as well as I had hoped. And even today, even though the schools have been integrated for a number of years, we have not accomplished what we had hoped to accomplish when we integrated the schools in Pasco County and all over the nation. Education is something that it's the effort of each individual that really helps a person to get ahead in this world. And even though we can help as teachers and we can help as educators, community leaders, we can't force anybody to get a good education. Therefore, we still have uneducated blacks and, of course, uneducated whites today. And they've always been some of both. But we really haven't accomplished in education what we have always had the dream of accomplishing. Therefore, I wouldn't say that it was perfect, but it has helped to get some of the blacks at least very much interested in education, and they are today making very good citizens. Even those who have not gotten ahead as much as they think they should have after being integrated have still gotten a better education, I think. The only thing that bothers me sometimes is that we have overlooked some of their shortcomings, and some of the whites have almost copied some of their, shall I just say, lazy ways. And so that has made it harder to teach children today than it was at one time, when most of the children that you were teaching really seemed to want to get an education. Now, whether integration had anything to do with it at all, I don't know. It could be just the change in society as a whole. But Pine Hill School was a little two-teacher school that served its purpose at the time. And I am glad that I had the privilege and the chance in my lifetime to be a part of the black schools of Pasco County. And I helped the teachers. Yeah, the teachers were one of the ones that really had problems adjusting to the integration in Dade City and in Newport Richey. And they looked to me for help, and I tried to give them the help they needed. Is that the end of it? Of course, you realize that integration, when it was forced upon the schools of the United States, they thought busing was the solution, to bus the blacks from their schools to white schools and whites from their schools to the black schools. That was tried in many places. But in Pasco County, we were not in any position that it would have been a sensible thing to do, even though we were told to do it at one time, because there were very few blacks in Pasco County in comparison to the whites, and most of them were in the Dade City area. There were very few in Newport Richey School, and that would have meant that white children from Newport Richey would have had to have been bused to Dade City, and some of the black children from Dade City would have been bused to Newport Richey to make the integration in the right proportion according to the government rules and regulations at that time. The administration of Pasco County Schools worked very hard to convince the people from Washington and where, and the integration department of the state, that it was be a terrible burden on everyone to do that busing, that it was not right to bus small children from one side of the county about 40 miles to the other just to get them integrated, that we had plenty of schools to absorb the blacks in Dade City and also the schools here on West Pasco were willing to absorb all of those on this side of the county without any problem. And since we did not have a problem, we did not see any need to make a problem by more busing.